We all have in our hearts such a deep hunger to know God in his realm of spirit, even though we're in some ways in the bondage to this natural plane, this natural realm, our physical senses. In our heart, there's something that cries out for that intimate knowing of the Lord. Heaven on earth, heaven to find a place of expression in our lives, for us to experience and for us to impart. And you know, the problem is, I think that hunger is a good thing, but the problem comes with our thinking in that we want to somehow explain away the mystery that is Christ. God is invisible, he's spirit, largely invisible to our senses. And we want to somehow figure out what that's all about. And I know you hear countless people telling you their divine experiences in heaven, books being written about people that died, that experienced heaven and came back. And, you know, the validity or whether everything's valid or not valid, I can't say. I do know God wants to be real to us, but he's not going to remove the mystery where we're not required to walk by faith and trust him. As we grow in the mind of Christ, we learn to live with the answers that God gives, and we learn to live with the questions that he doesn't answer. The mind of Christ is rooted in trust and faith. It's not purely some analytical mind that has the mysteries of the universe figured out. To grow spiritually, you do learn more, but you become aware of how little you really do know. We're able to live with the mystery of Christ. Think about the images we have in our mind. We think about heaven. Thinking back as a teenager, they would describe heaven, and probably from Sunday school on, the image of an angel playing a harp. Now, as a teenager, that didn't do much to encourage me to want to go to heaven. I wanted to stay on earth as long as possible. Angel playing electric guitar might have been a little bit better draw. It's at least better than an angel playing an accordion polka music. That would make me wonder if I'd gone to the wrong place. But anyway, we all have these mental images that have come through church that have nothing to do with the reality of what the Spirit is. You know, and it interferes with us receiving revelation from God's realm. Now, it doesn't mean God's going to let us figure it out, but he's going to give us insights that he wants to show us. His ways are not to be a mystery to us. His realm will always have that quality of mystery, but if we're willing to have faith and trust him, his ways find expression in framing how we think and how we live. Think about how you see yourself and all the years of church and hearing all the messages on grace and everything else. We still tend to look in the mirror and we see this human fabric full of holes. And we say, this can't be. God wants a perfect bride. The holes have got to be filled. You know, those holes are portals for God's grace to shine through. What we see as failure and frailty and something that we have to be ashamed of, God sees it as an instrument that he uses to express his grace and love. If you don't believe me, read what Paul has to say in Corinthians. My power is perfected in your weakness. He was teaching Paul not to run away or be ashamed of his weakness. Yet we still have these mental images that we need to be whole, we need to be accomplish something in ourselves. Being whole in Christ is not something that we do in ourselves. It's letting him shine through us. And a lot of the frailty he needs to use, keep us humble so that he can be seen. So you can see the many ways our mind has these set images that aren't the mind of Christ. And I think I feel the Lord asking a question, you know, are you ready to just let go and let me show you what the reality is? Are you willing to let go of your conditioning? We all our conditioning, even if you look at it and say, well, I know that's not right. Much of it is fear-based, filled with religious striving. And we're so used to it, it's a crutch we think we need to hobble through life. So instead of thriving in the Spirit, we're surviving. In order to thrive, it's turning the control over to God. saying, Father, my life cannot be managed by my efforts, religious or otherwise. And what you're doing is you're inviting the Holy Spirit to be the presence he was meant to be in your life. When Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own, we don't realize the impact, the power of that statement. We think, oh, that's nice. No, he was saying, I am totally helpless without the Father. We are totally helpless spiritually without the Holy Spirit. That's what he left us. You say, well, why doesn't God make himself more real? I mean, why can't we see him? Why can't we hear audible voices? Well, be careful on the audible voices. That can get you into trouble. People have heard audible voices. I never have. But I certainly have heard God. We'd all like to have it be more experiential, and it's going to be. But God is looking and saying, my realm is bridged by your faith and trust. That's how God has set it up. Jesus came back in resurrected form. Can you imagine the excitement once the disciples got over that initial hump of fear and unbelief, and they're going, my gosh, he was right. It worked. Did he stay? No, he left. He said, what am I going to give you when I leave? The Holy Spirit. That's the reality that we have in our lives that leads us into the truth in our experience in God. Now, what are we to do with this Holy Spirit? Cooperate. How do we cooperate? Faith and trust. And when you say faith and trust, you can't do it without a humble heart, because it's something we can't see. We can't rely on our own strengths, our own resources. So on our knees is how we have faith and trust in God and turn the control over to him. The word says in Romans, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but peace, joy, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit. The kingdom may be a different realm, but those qualities are to be manifest in this realm and through our lives. And this morning, it's just coming so strong to me, this quality of peace is needed. It's a kingdom quality. And we're talking about qualities of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to birth it, but we need to unite with the Spirit by trusting and having faith. Peace isn't getting the right man into office as president. I know we're all concerned about what's going on politically. Peace is a part of God's presence in nature that we're called to live in above the circumstances of life. Let's look at just a few things this morning. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. I love that phrase, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you'll continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. Jesus never said, believe in me and I will take you out of tribulation. I will end the tribulation in the world. That's not what this says. He said, in the godless world, it's going to keep going the way it's going, but I've conquered that. In me, you can find deep peace, unshakable, assured. That's the state of heart we want. The Lord produces that in us as we walk through the circumstances and the storms of life. In John 14, Jesus said, my parting gift to you is peace. I don't leave you feeling abandoned. I think one of the greatest frailties of our human nature, and one the enemy just tries to take advantage of, is he wants us to feel like we're orphans, that we're abandoned. You know, that God is out there somewhere, but we just have to try to find the right formula, the right religion to get to him. We got to perform the right way, jump through the hoops the right way. We're not abandoned. Jesus said that, and he gave us the gift of peace. When we're at peace, we know we're one with the Father. And condemnation has no place. It can't interrupt our relationship with the Lord. Matthew 11, 28. I love this one. Come to me, all you who are tired, worn out, burn out on religion. I will give you rest, or I will give you peace. Picture yourself going into therapy. You know that you're just needing help, struggling with life. You're sitting in a chair. In walks Jesus. Sits right across from you, looking at you. I can picture him saying this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Yes. Are you had enough of religion? Definitely. He'd just look at us and say, come to me. I'll give you something the world can't give you. Peace, rest. Instead of fighting our problems and fighting our circumstances, we need to learn how just to come to the Lord and say, I'm not asking you to take me out of the world, but give me your peace so that I can be above the problems and circumstances, above the worry. You know, I've made that prayer a lot of times, but really what I'm saying is, get me out of this mess. You know, I mean, Lord, I want your peace, but can you please just take care of these storms right now? They're upsetting me. Let's find his peace. His peace has conquered all storms. Now, in the Gospels, in three places, Matthew, Mark, and John, is given an account of the Lord walking on water. And they're all pretty similar, except Matthew adds something that's very important. It adds the part of Peter walking out to Jesus. So you can reference this later, Matthew 14, verses 24 to 33. But here the disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee in a boat, as instructed by the Lord, and they encounter a giant storm. I guess that sea had violent storms because of how it was situated. That wasn't uncommon. And they're being battered by the waves. And, of course, this is a perfect metaphor, simile, whatever it is, of our boat, our life going through. We have a sense of purpose. We're trying to get from point A to point B. And then the storms of life come up and worries, and all of a sudden we forget about where we're going. We're just trying to survive and not drown. And that's the enemy's tactic, to get you so worked up that you forget about where the Lord has taken you in life. And all you're trying to do is just calm the storms down to survive. It says Jesus was walking on the water, but he was walking by. I find that really curious. He wasn't looking for a ride. He wasn't looking to hook up with the disciples. He was walking on the water, going by to the other side of the shore where they were supposed to go. They call out to him. He gets their attention. They don't even know it's him. They think it's a ghost. They're afraid. When we're in a state of fear and panic, we don't see real clear. We can be looking right at the Lord and not know it's him. But we need to get his attention. He needs to get our attention. So that first step in overcoming is recognizing that the Lord has already overcome and he's standing right there. They call out to him. Now, the reason I want to give the account in Matthew is Peter says, if it's you, let me come. And you know the story. Peter steps out of the boat, begins to walk on water, start looking around. He takes his eyes off Jesus, starts to sink, and the Lord picks him up again. What's important about this is the Lord wants to draw us out of our soul, you might say, our worries, our minds. We see there he wants to draw us out so that we can participate with him walking on water. What am I talking about? Simply trusting him. That's what all that is. What about all my doubts and unbelief? I'm going to sink. Sure you will. Anybody that walks by faith is going to know what it is to take in some water. You're going to sink at times. Peter didn't look Jesus didn't look at Peter and said, I'm done with you. Oh, man, you took your eyes off me. You're done. It's part of learning the life of faith is learning what happens when doubt and unbelief take over. Starting to sink, so we say, Jesus, help me, realizing that we rely on him. But this whole action of Peter coming to the Lord is something the Holy Spirit wants to draw from us. We're saying, Jesus, get in the boat and make my life better. Wait. You have an opportunity to be where he is. Go there first. What happened after Jesus pulled Peter out of the water? He went to the boat. end of the storms. In one version, it says immediately they were on the other side of the shore. I think that was in John. So ultimately, yes, the Lord is in your boat. He's going to heal our worried minds. He's going to heal the anxiety. He's going to bring rest to us. But there's a step we can take and discover something. Like Peter, instead of waiting for the Lord to come to us, we can say, Lord, I want to be where you're at. And all it is, walking on water with Peter, how could he do it? He just looked at Jesus. It was absolute trust. He had no special abilities. It was the Lord's presence that enabled him to do that. The Lord's going to be doing many things in the days ahead, but we're never going to get away from this reality of trusting him. Like children, it's never going to be any different. No matter how many miracles and signs and wonders and this and that, it's still going to be that day by day, moment by moment, trusting and letting him know, Father, you're in control.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand.